Please be seated, unless you're a kid, and you're welcome to come up and bring an adult if that's helpful. I have something to show you. Does anyone know what this is? What is it? What do you think? It's a goat. This is not just any goat, though. This is a special goat that Pastor Carol let me borrow, and it is a screaming goat. Do you want to hear it? Listen. Did you hear it? Here we go, ready? It's a screaming goat. In our scripture lesson this morning, Jesus is talking about sheep and goats, and he's sitting on his throne, and he divides the people like a shepherd would separate sheep from goats. And he says to the sheep, "Sheep, I'm so proud of you, and I'm so thankful. You helped me, and you took care of me." And then Jesus turned to the goats and says, "Goats, I'm so disappointed. You didn't take care of me, and you didn't help me." But you know what? Neither the goats or the sheep remember taking care of Jesus or not taking care of Jesus. The sheep say, "When did we help you, Lord?" And the goats say, "When did we not help you?" And Jesus says, "When you took care of other people and helped other people, you helped me and you took care of me. And when you didn't take care of other people or help other people, you didn't take care of me." This scripture reminds us that God wants us to take care of other people and help them. And I have a few ideas about how you guys might help some people, but I bet you have some great ideas. You could probably help somebody at school who's having a hard time or maybe struggling with learning something. You could go sit by someone who's sad and be their friend. You could probably help other people with your family. Maybe you can go volunteer somewhere. And one of the things that we're doing in Sunday school this month, well, in December, is giving money to Open Table Nashville. They're building a tiny house village. It's little houses that are for people who don't have a home right now. And we're raising money to buy some furniture for those people. So you can bring money, and these should be in your Sunday school classrooms, and you can give money in this little house. That's another way to help people. But I know that you all can think of lots of ways to help people this week. Do you think you'd be willing to help one person this week? Do you think you could do that? Yeah, I think you can too. And I think they can too. Let's have a prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day, and we thank you that you have called us to help you by helping others. Remind us that when we help other people, we're helping you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks all. You can go back to your seats. Carol keeps that goat on her desk, if any of you want to get a closer look at it. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, I think that goats are making a real comeback these days. I mean, if you think about it, goats are everywhere. More than ever before, you can find goat milk and goat cheese in the local grocery stores. All you have to do is search for goats on YouTube, and you get thousands of video options. They have cute baby goats, singing goats, screaming goats, jumping goats, all sorts of options. Someone in the Tuesday morning Bible study this week said that he actually rented a herd of goats to come clear some land for him, and they did a really good job. And you can even sign up for goat yoga. Has anybody done that? I'm kind of intrigued. Yes, goats really seem to be doing well for themselves, especially if you compare them to sheep. No one really talks about sheep these days. But in Jesus' day, sheep were actually worth more than goats. Their wool was valuable, and they were a little less high maintenance than goats who needed to be protected from the cold. So it's no big surprise that sheep come out on top in our scripture this morning. You'll recall that Jesus is sitting on his throne in all of his glory, and he's looking out over all the nations. And like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, Jesus divides the people with the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. And he says to the sheep, "Sheep, you are blessed by God. Come and inherit my kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world began. And here's why. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink." And Jesus lists all of these ways that the sheep have cared for him. But the sheep are a little sheepish. They don't remember doing these things for Jesus. But he says, "When you did it to the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Whew, lucky sheep, right? And then Jesus turns to his left and, well, let's just say it didn't really go so well for the goats. Why? Because he was hungry and they didn't feed him. He was thirsty and they didn't give him something to drink. They didn't welcome him or clothe him or visit him when he was sick or in prison. Those poor, clueless goats. "When, Lord," they ask, "when did we see you in need and not take care of you?" And Jesus says, "Here's the deal. When you didn't do those things to those who were in need, you didn't do them to me." So Jesus condemns them to hell while the sheep enjoy eternal life. It's a nice story, right? If you're a sheep. I have to admit, this passage makes me uncomfortable. Sometimes I read it and I think, oh, I'm definitely a sheep. No worries. I work for the church, right? I'm good. And then I begin to wonder. I think I'm a sheep. I hope I'm a sheep. But what if I'm not? What if I'm actually a goat? There have been so many times that I've ignored that person asking for money. There have been so many times when I've found better things to do than visit someone who is sick. And I can't tell you the last time I went to a prison to visit someone. Yikes. Maybe I'm more of a goat than I'd like to admit. But is that the purpose of this passage? Is Jesus trying to scare those of us who are goats? Or reassure those of us who are sheep? I'm not sure that's his intent. Lindsay Armstrong is a pastor who says that Matthew's depiction of the Last Judgment is like a wellness check. It's not supposed to condemn or to scare, but it's supposed to provide a snapshot of our overall health. It's a look at our development, our learning, and our growth that should lead to new habits and new ways of life. After all, she says, just as our doctor wants us to flourish, so does our Creator, Redeemer, Judge, and King. In other words, this passage isn't a guilt trip, but it's an opportunity for a gut check, a chance to pause and evaluate our commitment and priorities. If we've been acting like goats, well, it's probably time to change a few things. And if we've been more like sheep, we can't just rest on our laurels. Just like our physical health, our spiritual health needs to be maintained. My guess is most of us fall somewhere between sheep and goats. We're not fully sheep or fully goat. And all of us can be better about caring for the least of these. As I was talking with the folks at the noon Bible study on Tuesday, someone mentioned that sometimes this just feels overwhelming. And I agree. Sometimes it feels like no matter how hard we try, we just can't cut it. We fall short of Christ's call. There are so many people who are hungry and sick and in prison. There are so many strangers out there. How can we possibly welcome and care for them all? It's easy to feel like we can't make much of a difference. And if we can't make that much of a difference, then why bother trying at all? Maybe we should just resign ourselves to being goats. Except that Jesus actually has something to say to this line of thinking. And he does it back in chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. He's sending his disciples out to be missionaries, and he's trying to convey the importance not only of the work that they're going to do, but of the support that they're going to receive from other people. Eugene Peterson paraphrases it, and he says this: Jesus says, "This is a large work I've called you into, but don't be overwhelmed by it. It's best to start small. Give a cool cup of water to someone who's thirsty, for instance. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. You won't lose out on a thing." Did you catch that? Start small, Jesus says. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. We don't have to do it all at once. We can start small, begin there. Barbara Brown Taylor suggests focusing on one person to begin with. She says, the next time you go to the grocery store, try engaging the cashier. You don't have to invite her home for lunch or anything, but take a look at her face while she's trying to find arugula on her laminated sheet of produce. Here is someone who exists even when she's not ringing up your groceries. She's someone's daughter. She may be someone's mother as well. She has a home she returns to when she hangs up her apron here. You saved $11.06 today, she says, looking right at you. All that is required of you is to look back. Just meet her eyes for a moment and say, thanks. Sometimes that's all another person needs, to know that she has been seen, not the cashier, but the person. Taylor describes this practice as coming face to face with another human being, preferably someone different enough to qualify as a capital O, other, and at least entertaining the possibility that this is one of the faces of God. I think that's an important part of this gut check. There is an awakening that happens among the sheep and the goats. They come to understand that the hungry and thirsty, the naked and the stranger, the sick and the imprisoned, all of those people are actually Christ himself. The Son of Man who will sit on his throne in glory, surrounded by the angels, that very same king can actually be found here and now in the faces of the neediest people who are often overlooked and ignored. And we, friends, we are lucky enough to get in on this secret now, today. This week I read an article from NPR about a man named Dan Peterson. After Dan's wife died, he really didn't know what to do with himself, and he became depressed. One day, he went to the grocery store looking particularly disheveled. He hadn't shaved in a few days, and he hadn't had a haircut in months. And as he walked down toward the end of an aisle, Dan encountered a 4-year-old girl named Nora. Nora bounded up to him and said, "Hi, old person. Today's my birthday." Nora and Dan struck up a conversation, and a friendship was born. Now she and her mom, Tara, visit Dan every week. Tara says, she just blows in like a whirling dervish, plunders through his cabinets, and he slaps his knee and laughs and laughs and laughs. They spend time in his yard, telling each other secrets and giggling together. Nora says that she thought Dan needed a friend because he was sad. And Dan says, Nora got me out of the loop, gave me something to live for. It's like the sun came out, you know? Nora saw the face of God in Dan Peterson. And Dan Peterson saw the face of God in Nora. We who follow Jesus, We who want to be in relationship with him, we are called to seek him by engaging with our neighbors in need. Jesus is inviting us to check in with ourselves, with our spiritual health, and make the necessary changes so that we don't miss out on the life that he wants for us. And I'm not just talking about life in heaven someday far down the road. I'm talking about abundant life, abundant kingdom living here and now, today. We've just celebrated Thanksgiving, and the wider culture has already begun celebrating Christmas. We've had the Black Friday craziness, and Christmas decorations are up everywhere. But in the Christian church, we're actually celebrating New Year's Eve. Today is Christ the King Sunday. It's the final day of the Christian year. Next week, we'll begin to celebrate the new year with the first week of Advent. But today is set aside to proclaim that Christ is the King of our world and our lives. He is the one to whom we pledge our ultimate allegiance. Over the past several weeks, Carol has been preaching on the parables in Matthew, and she's explained that Jesus is having a party, and we're all invited. Well, this is the party, folks. It's just getting started. It probably doesn't look like your typical New Year's Eve party, but it is a potluck, and we know a few things about that, don't we, Methodists? This party includes a bunch of people who are different from us. They probably make us uncomfortable, and they need something from us. But you know what? We need something from them, too. Our spiritual health depends on them. So how about a New Year's resolution? Whether we're sheep or whether we're goats, let's pledge our allegiance to Christ our King. And let's commit to doing one small thing this week, just to begin, just to get started. Let's look someone in the eye and give them the gift of recognizing their humanity. And if we have more to give, let's offer someone a meal or a cool cup of water. Let's go through our closets and get rid of all those clothes that we never wear and give them to folks who actually would use them and wear them. Let's take some time out of our busy schedule and visit someone who's sick or lonely. Or maybe let's sign up to find out more about a prison ministry and how we can help them. Whatever we do, whether it's small or extravagant, I have no doubt that we will encounter the face of Christ our King, and we will be blessed beyond measure. So come on, sheep. Come on, goats. The party's just getting started, and it's going to be great. Thanks be to God. Amen.